Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code Taskmaster. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with my bookie. Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the man behind the 83 Weeks of Dominance, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the original devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, JP. How are you doing?
Doing very good. So recently, Conan was talking on his show about him versus Hulk Hogan in WCW, and he said, man, I always wanted to ask Kevin Sullivan about it, but I always forget to mention it to him. I was supposed to have matches with Hogan. They even took pictures together. They were going to have matches when Conan and Hogan were both in WCW together. I guess this would probably be 94, 95, maybe more towards 95, that they were going to have three matches together, one in the U.S., one in Mexico, one undetermined. Do you remember this all? As far as Hogan versus Conan?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. And the reason why I vaguely remember it was because we were going to Mexico City with AAA. And something, and I'm could be way off here. I'm thinking something happened in the North Tower where they said, what, you're going to give that match outside of the country? Because we actually met with Pena one time. Me and Eric met with Pena and Conan. And that was brought up. But where I'm getting at is, that's what I'm assuming happened. I could be way wrong. But I'm thinking they stepped in and said, oh, they're going to draw. Because I think Eric, and maybe me, and I'm sure if they met with Pena, they must have said what kind of money they were drawing in Mexico at that time. I mean, Conan, as most people know, was hugely over there. And they might have looked at this whole thing and said, we just signed Hulk Hogan for this kind of money, and they're going to draw in Mexico, and somebody else is going to get part of our money. That's the only thing I could think of. Because it would have drawn huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Hulk Hogan of Mexico, and obviously Hogan is the Hogan, Hulk Hogan, you know?
Right. But I think they would have drawn big in the States, too. If they went to Chicago or San Antonio or L.A., I mean, they would have drawn huge everywhere.
Do you think Hogan would have been okay with losing one, winning one, and probably winning the third one?
I think if he could have made the big money that he was probably going to make in Mexico, yeah.
You think he wins two out of three, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Conan had mentioned that he's not sure what happened. Obviously, he's never asked you, but he was saying that maybe because he wasn't that good at the U.S. style of wrestling, per se. He was much more Lucha Libre-based, much more Mexican-based. Do you think that played a part into kind of scrapping it, too?
No, I don't think so. It could have been. I'm saying no, but I really don't know. But I think it was, how are you going to let this guy draw that money and we're not getting it all? That's just my thought. You know, they're paying Hogan big, big money. He was under personal service contract. Ted, you know what I mean?
To me, I feel like if Hogan draws money, if he sees money with anybody, he'll work with the guy. You know what I mean? He'll want to work with the guy.
Yeah, he went from not wanting to work with Brian Pillman to wanting to beat him as soon as he got over, right?
Yep. That's funny how that works, right?
Yep.
So as far as the topic at hand today, I wanted to talk about WCW Fall Brawl 2000, which was held on September 17th, Buffalo, New York, HSBC Arena. Pay-per-view buys only 75,000, but people in attendance, 8,638. Tagline, unedited, unpredictable, unbelievable. What do you think here? 75K, not that great.
No, I mean, weren't they doing 300 a few years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
To me, it tells you the people aren't buying your products, right?
Yep. Definitely down and not in a good way.
Right. And I'm sure Vince is red hot now, right?
Yes. Yep. And Austin is on his way back. He was out with injury, with a neck injury. He's on his way back. They're teasing his return. So, yeah, they're red hot.
Yeah.
What do you think here? Like where were you? Obviously, you're not there, but you're still getting paid, right? You're sitting at home probably fishing?
Yeah, I was home. At that time, I was had bought a piece of land on US 1, and I was going to knock a building down, build a gym. Yeah.
So are you paying attention at all to what Russo was doing there? Okay.
No.
So obviously Russo is at the helm here. Bischoff is gone. We talked about this before. Fall or Bash of the Beach 2000 happens. The Hogan controversy with Jarrett. Bischoff and Hogan legitimately leave and then legitimately both never come back after that. So, I mean, this is Russo's show. And Bischoff says, like, you guys are – well, Bischoff comes back. Hogan never does. Bischoff says, well, you're going to call me back when this guy fails. And we're starting to see some cracks in the armor. I know some people like that Booker T and Scott Steiner are getting pushes by Russo and some of the things he's doing, but you're starting to see some big cracks here as, like we talked about before, as Russo is going to become champion at one point. I mean, we're going to go down some bad roads here with his booking.
Well, you know, it's easy for people to knock it, and I can't really knock his stuff. It wouldn't be what I would do, but he's doing what he thinks is right. But I think it's really off. You know what I mean? I said this before. Remember when Dusty would go over, people would raise hell?
Yep.
Dusty was one of the biggest stars in the history of our business. You know, Russo's first match, he wins the world title.
And he's the writer of the show. Dusty, yeah. Yes, he's the booker, or whatever, writer of the show, whatever you say, but obviously he's the dream. He's the most overact on the card, most likely.
At one time, he was an attraction just like Andre. When there was a time, and I'm trying to figure out the years, I think it was 76 and 77, that Dusty was working Florida, Atlanta, Carolinas, Dallas, New York. That's when Graham was champion, right? 76, 77?
Yep.
New York and San Antonio. He was traveling almost as much as Andre in Kansas City. So he was drawing well.
So obviously Russo booking himself as champion. I know he said he has his own reasons. He trusted himself and whatever nonsense, but I don't
care.
Say
that again. He trusted himself.
He trusted himself. Like he knew that he would be able to help with the ratings and stuff, but.
Wait. Say this. Please tell me this story.
He could rely on himself as far as like trusting himself
more than Goldberg, more than Goldberg, more than Steiner, more than
slippery slope.
Whoa.
Yeah, slippery slope. Yeah, I agree.
Wow. Okay.
So there was a lot of politics obviously going on at WCW at this point, but at this show, there's no War Games again. There's no, you know, match. We talked about 99 didn't have it, this year didn't have it. So they have it on Nitro on the Dallas, Texas edition, September 4th. So 2 weeks before this, they have it. The match is Kevin Nash, who's the champion, with Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner, and the Harris brothers, defeated Booker T, Goldberg, Chronic, and Sting. Nash's championship is on the line here, and he retains his championship, which leads to Booker T versus Nash in a cage match later on in this actual show, in the main event. So do you have War Games, but it's not really War Games, and Nash retains the title? Do you like putting it on a random Nitro like that?
No. No. It had been built for years, right? It was had a title that people were well aware of.
I like War Games. I'm a big fan of it. In general, going back to Russo for a second, is there WCW fans and WWF fans? Because it seemed like he's booking for WWF fans, but this is WCW. You can't really do that stuff here.
I think there are wrestling fans. And when we were riding high, we'd give them wrestling. When they would get their ass kicked, they were doing comedy shit. Now they got Austin, they got Rock, they got Hunter, they got a whole bevy of people that can work their asses off. What's the common denominator? You can check your disbelief at the door.
Yep. It just seemed like, I don't know, like a lot of this stuff may have worked in WWF, but he was trying to bring it to WCW, and it definitely was not working at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Vince McMahon would have allowed him to win the WWF title?
No. Not a chance.
Enough said.
And I think you lose, you know, a lot of the audience with him winning the title. I don't care if it was only for 3 days or whatever, but still, I think you lost some of the audience, just some of the interest when that happened. I really do feel that way.
Yeah, especially when they knew he was writing the show.
Right. And I knew a lot of people that, you know, when I was in high school and early years there, or actually later years in high school, they just were like, who is this guy? Like they didn't know who he was. It's not like he's Vince McMahon. Everybody knows Vince McMahon. I mean, you know, my grandmother knows Vince McMahon. Everybody knows Vince McMahon. It's like nobody really knew who he was. And they're like, wait a second, this guy's writing a show and he wrote himself as champion?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. What was your relationship like with Russo? Did you guys get along?
Yeah, we got along. I mean, you know, yeah, I got along with him. But I understood he had a different mindset than mine. And it worked for him one time, I guess, right, in New York.
Yep.
So he was successful there. Maybe. Who knows what happened? Maybe sometimes we all do it. You get so far in the rabbit hole, you keep on digging and think you're going to get out. Well, you just go deeper and deeper into it.
Yeah. To me, I mean, I like him, but I always tease him and say, former WWE champion, like just to tease him. And he's like, what? And I'm like, Hogan, Flair, Russo? Like, I always have to joke around. It's insane, like, to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've talked to David Arquette a few times, and he almost like feels bad about it because, you know, he'll mention he's like guys like Harley Race were champion, and, you know, he'll feel bad about it. And, you know, you don't get that same sense from Russo. Yeah, it's just a wrestling show, but no, it means something more to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it used to mean something. I mean, you know, everybody that held that belt at one time could have kept that belt in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
On a rare occasion, maybe if Haku decided, well, no one's going to stop Haku. But other than him, you know, most of them, from Briscoe to Funk to Fez to Raleigh to even Dusty, you know? It takes the okay. You and I were talking about Bellies baseball. Mike Trout, Judge. They look like Paul Bunyan's, right?
Yep.
I think the worst thing in baseball was the second baseman for the Red Sox.
Dustin Pedroia?
Yeah, Dustin Pedroia. You know why? I went to a game, a preseason game with my youngest one. And she said to me, oh, Dad, look at that, what the Red Sox are doing. Isn't that nice? I said, what are you talking about? She said, they're letting the bat boy play second base. It makes people think there's a chance. He was an anomaly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same with Altuve. Same thing. Yeah. Short little guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And him, Altuve, with the pop. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen very often, you know? And that's where I'm going with this. When you saw Bruno when you were a kid, right? You could take one of your friends that had never been to a wrestling match, never seen wrestling. You could take him to the Gardens. When Bruno walked down the aisle, the guy knew he was the world champion. Harley, Dory, Terry, the same way. You've got to have, you know, a leadership quality to back in the day to be, you know, that kind of champion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So with this show, they start off with a video package, and it's like little action figures wrestling each other in the main event. You know, they're making it live action. I see this nowadays. For some reason, it became real popular nowadays where people do that, and they have like Instagram accounts and stuff. But back in 2000, like, this is a little weird. Like, the action figures, it's like Goldberg, Scott Steiner, main event. They're doing all this other stuff. It's kind of like a little cheesy, a little corny. But I feel like if people watch it nowadays, they'd like it, because I see these videos all the time with people's wrestling figures and like professional photography going on with these figures. It's weird, but I don't know. It's just, I guess maybe just to do something different. You just try to shake it up and do something out of the box.
I guess they were trying to sell their toys.
That too. Yeah.
They were selling their toys. They were trying to make some money on the other end.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. Like, what the hell is this video? But I remember, you know, this 20 years ago, obviously, but I was like, wow, interesting. Interesting way to open the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a movie the other night. It was really a different opening. And I said, well, if this took me, this opening will be plastered in another 2 months on every movie. You know what I mean? Yep. There, you know, most entertainment businesses copycat. I mean, let's go back to rock and roll. Elvis was the king and he started it, right? But then there was the British invasion. How many groups came from England that were very similar? You know, and then, well, and we talked about this the other week, the zombie movies. And I said to you, now there's all these zombie movies. Now I was on, going through Netflix and Hulu and all of them. There's more than there was last week. You know, now there's a comedy one where a kid doesn't want to bite them. You know, he doesn't want to bite them, so he's paying them for them to take their blood out and give it to him. I'm saying to myself, wait, the falling business, once you get into that routine, that's why I'm so against patents, I keep on telling you. Once you get into a routine, when I was a kid, the business was protected a lot better than even when I started the business. But I could figure out who was going to win. You know what I mean? They brought Rocker in one time to wrestle this guy who was a big name in Boston, Frank Scapa. And I knew there wasn't going to be a finish because the patent had been set before when they brought someone in to wrestle Scapa. They weren't going to switch the belt because the guy wasn't going to be here next week. So I think, I don't know how I got off on this tangent, but it's like we follow patents and we follow them whether they're good or bad. You know what I mean? And this is what I'm talking about you before, is if you don't know where the end is, you can't, it's like taking a hill on the walk. If you don't know how to get up to that hill, and you think, well, I can run around the back if I can't go forward, it ain't gonna happen. You need to stick to a plan. I don't know.
It seemed like WWE maybe didn't have a plan here. I don't know, they were really in trouble. And like I said, Steve Austin is returning this month in September of 2000 at Unforgiven in Philadelphia. They sell out 18,000 plus tickets. The arena sold out. Pay-per-view did 605,000 buys for Austin's return. So you wonder where the slice of the pie was. If there's 700,000 people buying shows, they bought 600,000. I mean, crazy.
Because Austin. 600, yeah. We didn't even get 100,000.
Nope.
God, what a draw, Austin.
Yep.
Coming back. Who did he come back with? Do you know?
He started feuding with Rikishi because Rikishi ended up being the person that took him out. It really bad storyline, but I don't think anybody cared because Austin was back, you know, and
yeah.
It was the business going through the roof. And then when he returns WrestleMania, when he comes back at WrestleMania 17, him versus The Rock, they do over 1 million buys. So, I mean, he was, you know, the end all be all for them.
Yeah, yeah.
With this show, we start off with Shivani, Scott Hudson, Mark Madden in the booth. Elix Skipper with Major Guns, you got to love that name, defeats Queewee with Paisley for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Elix Skipper retained. Match goes 11 minutes. Nothing bad, but nothing great either. You know, it was an okay match. What do you think about that? Major Guns. Do you like that I don't know, what do you call it, double entendre, whatever? Like, you like that name? I mean, obviously, you can imagine what she looks like. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I know. She was there when I was.
Tylene Buck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that might have cost her job. You know what I mean? She was going under the radar pretty well there for a while. Not everybody had social media, right?
Right.
That name might have tipped the balance for her.
It's like an old James Bond movie or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Pussy galore, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Elix Skipper, very talented, though. Very good. I don't know what happened to him. I think he's a manager of some sort of chain something or other down south nowadays. But what an athlete. He was tremendous. I don't know if you saw much of Elix Skipper, but he was great.
Yeah, I saw him as I was leaving. He had all the tools.
What do you think of Queewee, Alan Funk?
I've always liked him. Always liked him. Always dependable to he was going to give you the most he possibly could give you, and it was always well received.
Do you like the Queewee gimmick, though? He's almost doing Adrian Street.
No. No. you know, there's some... I guess you can copy some people, but, you know, it's like trying to, I mean, that's a hard gimmick to do. You know what I mean? That's a very hard gimmick to do. And the way it got over for Adrian, he played his gimmick when he was outside the ring.
Definitely. And Alan Funk, apparently, according to a few people I told you, was a bit of a, just much like Adrian Street, was kind of a tough guy a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
Weird that they gave him this gimmick. I don't know why, because I know he was doing, I think he was doing like Angry Alan Funk before this, and I know he wasn't always the Queewee character, but it seemed like for some reason Russo gave him that gimmick, not sure why, but and it didn't fit.
No, it didn't. I mean, I don't know. We could. Adrian came up with the gimmick on his own. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's why it worked.
So crazy just to think, like, when you put guys in certain gimmicks, I don't know, you want it to fit. This one, this just didn't seem like it fit him.
No, because he wasn't going to walk around outside like that.
Yeah, he's got to do Angry Alan or, you know, whatever he could do. He's a good wrestler, a good worker.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you're saddled with a gimmick that you can't make work.
So the next matchup, the Misfits and Action. Corporal Cajun, who is Lash LaRue, Lieutenant Loco, who is Chavo Guerrero, and Sergeant AWOL, who is The Wall, defeated 3 Count, Shannon Moore, Evan Courageous, and Shane Helms in a 6-man tag, 10 minutes, 25 seconds. Actually, a pretty good match for the most part. I know you're not a particular fan of the gimmicks here of the Misfits in Action.
No, it isn't that I'm not against them, but we're putting guys over that aren't in the wrestling business. Right?
Well, it's basically you have LaRue, Chavo, and The Wall doing a gimmick where they're all in like army fatigues and they're pretending they're all misfits, and I don't know, it's almost like trying to make them like an oddities type group. I don't even know what how to describe it. Like trying to make them different, saying that the characters before didn't work, but now they're all misfits and they're all cast with these kind of a strange gimmick.
If you can't figure out, and you're a big time wrestling fan, do you think anybody else can?
Right, right. I kind of understand they're trying to make him like goofy characters, but oh, they're all good. Lash is good. Chavo's good. The Wall is good.
I mean, they're great cruiserweights. Why do we need to make them goofy?
Good match for the most part, but I don't know. To me, the Misfits in Action gimmick, and remember General Rection, Huge E. Rection is their leader. Yeah. Built the bot. So it's all very, I don't know, too jokey almost. Too sports entertaining, too campy, I guess you could say.
I mean, it got over once for him, and he thought maybe it could get over again.
Right. I guess giving him something to do, I guess. But I don't know. Funny, the Corporal Cajun, I guess, is okay for Lash LaRue, but Lieutenant Loco for Chavo and Sergeant AWOL for the Wall. And some of them I wasn't really feeling as much.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I mean, I wasn't even watching it then, so I can agree with you. You took these, and the Wall was a very talented guy. Lash was very talented. Maybe if you kept them into a wrestling persona, they would have done better.
So they cut to the back, and there's a funny little segment. Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner, and Kevin Nash are together. A little kid comes over and says he wanted an autograph. Nash said he would consider it. Jarrett and Steiner said, no way. They walked by. So the kid said, oh, I only have $1.50. So Nash declined, and he told the kid, go buy a soda. I don't know. That just, like, tickled me. I remember watching it back, and I was like, it's stupid, makes no sense, but I guess just shows you Nash is an asshole, you know? He's not going to sign a contract.
Nash can do anything to make it work. He's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It was almost like, what do you think about this, Kevin? Like, oh, I'll make it funny. So, he doesn't do it for the kid. And he goes, hey, go buy yourself a soda, kid. Checking him off.
Yeah. I could see Nash doing that very easily.
Yeah. Yep. So then the next match is the Harris Boys. Ron and Don Harris, the Harris brothers, defeated Chronic, Brian Adams, and Brian Clark in a First Blood chain match. Nothing great here. I mean, nothing terrible, but nothing to write home about. Just First Blood and chain match, like a double gimmick match here for a tag team match. I don't know if you're liking the double gimmick.
I don't think it's a double gimmick.
No?
It erases itself. A chain match is supposed to be a bloody affair. First Blood is a way to get out of the match, you know, and you're covering your face. With a chain match, you're supposed to have violence.
And they're almost not avoiding the violence, but they're avoiding the chain. So you're avoiding having the finish of the blood. And it, you're right. It does kind of work against itself because it makes the match not as good.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they should have been spinning Chinese dishes too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, yeah, weird. It's almost like you said, no gimmicks, but they try to make it too many gimmicks.
It's almost like it's a pilot for a television show.
Oh, yes. You've said that before. Maybe.
Yeah.
So next up, Lance Storm is defending his not United States heavyweight championship. He put the Canadian flag over it, so he calls it the Canadian heavyweight championship. The fans were not particularly excited about that one. They were, you know, tremendous heel heat. Lance Storm was great at this point during this gimmick, but he's a U.S. champ. He calls himself the Canadian champ. He's with Major Guns. He defeats General Rection, General Hugh G. Rection, to retain his United States championship match in about 7 minutes. Hugh G. Rection loses to Lance Storm. So it's USA versus Canada here, but Lance Storm gets the victory.
Lance Storm, both of them, Hugh Morris is a terrific performer. Lance is special. Why do you saddle guys that are special with? It isn't up to me to decide that. I'm sure they gave a very good account of themselves.
So those two had good chemistry and good matches, but the funny thing is the finish. So Hacksaw Jim Duggan is the special guest enforcer. Guess what happens? Duggan turns on his protege or buddy, Bill DeMott, hits him with the 2x4, turns on him, and guess what? He's now a part of Team Canada. He takes, after Storm wins, he takes off his shirt. He's wearing a hockey, you know, like a cutoff sleeve Canada hockey jersey. So Jim Duggan, Mr. US of A, the crowd didn't really kind of want to boo him either. He turned heel and he joins Team Canada. So Duggan is a heel with the Canadian colors on, the red and white.
I guess being to New York is close enough to Canada, right?
Yeah, you're getting up there. Yeah, you're getting close.
Yeah. Maybe he snuck over the border when he was a kid to drink some beers. I don't know.
Would you think of turning Duggan into a Canadian like guy? You know, considering the USA stuff, and he never really gets booed.
Isn't his shtick USA, USA?
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Trying something different, I guess. Pitch till you win.
Would you ever turn Duggan into a Canadian?
No.
Maybe they thought it would work like Slaughter and the Iraqi gimmick. Maybe that's what they think.
A little bit of a history lesson here. You know, it was the British that burnt down the White House in 1812, not the Canadians. You know?
Yeah.
And in fact, the people in Louisiana, the Cajuns, come from Canada. They're the Acadians. So we never went to war with Canada.
Well, I think they're trying to piggyback. Remember when Brett was in WWF and he did the Canadian thing? He turned that crowd so pro-Canada when he was in Canada, and then they were so anti him because he would make fun of them. You guys don't have health care. Like, so Lance Storm is kind of doing that same shtick, if you will, making everybody hate the Canadians.
That was fine for Lance, but not Jim Duggan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Very funny, though, at the time, because you're like, Jim Duggan? Like,
yeah.
And I could see Russo saying, swerve, bro. You never saw it coming. Swerve. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Never saw it coming for a reason, maybe, though. I don't know. That's a weird one. Duggan. And the crowd doesn't really want to boo him either. So it's almost like, I don't know, like you almost got more sympathy on him because he's helping him, but he doesn't really want to help him. It's weird.
Yeah, for sure.
So Duggan, in your booking playbook, he would never be a Canadian stalwart, if you will.
No, he's too deep into that. You know what I mean? And it didn't do anything. It's not going to move the needle at all. Not like Hogan turning, you know, or somebody turning with their story. This was just written in to try to do something with Duggan, I guess. I don't know.
So they go to the back. Mean Gene is interviewing the Natural Born Thrillers, Stasiak, O'Hare, Jindrak, Palumbo, Mike Sanders, who was a great talker. And it's funny, you see a different gimmick from Mean Gene. He calls Mike Sanders a little prick. He tells, you know, O'Hare, you know, get the hell out of here. I mean, he's cursing, and you're seeing a different Mean Gene. Do you like this? It's almost like he's got an attitude adjustment going on.
I'd have to see it, but I mean, Mean Gene was such a class act. Maybe this did work. Did you think it worked?
I just thought it was funny. Like, he was kind of a ladies' man too. He'd flirt with Pamela Paulshock, who was beautiful, and some of the other girls. So it kind of just worked. It's like, what the hell? Like, not really like a good storyline, but something entertaining to happen during the show, because you never knew what he was going to say during the interview. Like Mike Sanders, you know, you little prick, shut up, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
He showed a lot more. I mean, he always showed personality and charisma, but here he was much more like an old curmudgeon, like don't piss him off kind of thing.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's a little bit different side of Mean Gene. It's probably the real side of Mean Gene, because if you've ever seen those reels where they have basically, I think it was like 85, 86, somebody had backstage stuff that was never seen before. He's making Iron Sheik laugh. He's calling Volkov a dickhead. He's making Bundy laugh. You know, they're not technically on or recording, right. But so he's like practicing with them, and he's making them all crack up. And you know, he's being a wise ass.
Yeah, and that's how he was. He was very, very entertaining.
guys you would never see crack or like cracking because he was making them laugh.
Yeah.
So then we have an interesting match here. The Filthy Animals versus the Natural Born Thrillers in a 7-on-7 elimination match. So it's Jindrak O'Hare, Palumbo, Reno, Johnny the Bull, Mike Sanders, and Sean Stasiak versus Conan, Rey Mysterio Jr., Disco, Juventud, Big Vito, Tigress, and the returning Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So interesting
get
match
your
here.
Get your programs here. Can't tell the players without a program. Get your program.
So Mr. Wonderful.
Dancing elephants, what?
So Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, the surprise, he was the surprise guy in the match. He trained these guys. So the whole thing was they hated him because he was their coach at the power plant, and they felt he was holding them back, storyline-wise, of course, was holding them back. So he was a nice surprise, and in New York, he got a nice pop.
Well, that's good. Just too many guys.
Oh, yeah, 14 guys. Yeah, it's a 7-on-7 elimination match, yeah. The match actually wasn't bad at all. It goes 17 minutes just about, but it ends after a bunch of eliminations, ends in a no contest. Paul Orndorff got a stinger. He did the pal driver, and I guess the vertebrae, whatever, when he landed on his ass to do the pal driver, he couldn't get up. He was stiff, and he re-injured his neck, so they had to stop the match and make it a no contest. It continues on the next night on Nitro with the Filthy Animals winning, but crazy, like, okay, he looked good, obviously, minus the one arm. He looked good, looked in shape, but maybe shouldn't have tried the pile driver. Definitely, it hurt him really bad.
Yeah, I know it did.
Did you ever see that or hear about that?
Yeah, I did see that later on. I heard about it. You know, they had to pay Paul his full salary until he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
For getting hurt in the ring?
Yeah.
Is that his call, though? He wants to do, you know, be himself.
He didn't
want to
do that finish.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Really? Why not? Because the way
it would hurt his neck.
Wow. So you're saying, like, they told him, like, this is the finish, this is what we want?
That's what I heard. No, I wasn't there. It could be completely fallacy.
Interesting. So that match, it was actually going well. It was good. And I know there's way too many people and it's a clusterfuck, but entertainment-wise, it was pretty entertaining up until that point, obviously. He was a nice surprise because it's almost like these guys are so cocky. Oh, shit, here's like the drill sergeant that trained them. Like, he's going to put them into order because they're all smartasses. And it just kind of sucked that he was snake-bitten a bit there and got injured.
Yeah, yeah. Paul was a great, great performer. Real. I mean, if you didn't know who Paul Orndorff was, he was the Brandon Bull. He beat up everybody in Tampa. You know, he was played on the last team that the University of Tampa football team actually had. Paul was drafted by the Saints. He played for them for a short time until he got injured. He was a tough guy.
And the crowd does give him, he gets stretchered out just in case, you know, they put the neck brace on him just in case, stretcher him out. Crowd give a nice respectful, you know, ovation to Paul. So it was going well up until that point, but obviously that sucks that the injury happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we have the Pittsburgh Plunge. Of course, like your boy Shane, he's from Pittsburgh. Scaffold match. Shane Douglas and Torrey Wilson versus Billy Kidman and Medusa. What do you think about that scaffold match with Torrey Wilson involved?
Do you think you could do that today, put two girls on a scaffold?
I don't know, because Bianca Belair and Bayley are having ladder matches and stuff. Like, maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe. Here, though, you could tell, I mean, obviously Bianca Belair is one of the best and fully trained. Torrey Wilson wasn't necessarily a trained wrestler.
Right, right.
Medusa obviously is. But
right.
So Shane and Torrey Wilson, via some cheating methods, they do get the win over Billy Kidman and Medusa in about 5 minutes. Really stinker, not a good match. And when they throw Billy Kidman off the scaffold, he lands into like this plush, almost like when AEW did with Jericho. Like you could tell they weren't landing on a hard surface. The way the cameras were placed and the way you see it, it was almost like he fell into a pillow. It just looked horrible. Not good. You're speechless.
I'm speechless.
To me, though, it's dangerous. Of course, we know it's dangerous, and we know they have to land safely, but do you have to have the cameras right there to see that how absurd, you know, it is? Like, you got to, I don't know, you got to make it look like a guy killed him, you know?
Sounds like a pilot to me.
Hmm. All right, so up next, Sting. Actually, before that, is actually a funny skit with Mike Tenay and David Flair. Very interesting. So they say it's pre-recorded. Mike Tenay visits David Flair at his home, and he says, "Hey, how's your mental state?" And his house just looks a wreck. I mean, there's food all over the place. You could tell the paintings on the wall aren't. Like, David Flair, you could tell, okay, something's off here. He's definitely losing his mind. He's nutty. He was saying, "You're dating Stacy Keibler. She's pregnant. Who's the father of the baby?" All this, you know, it's all this stuff of like, what the hell's going on? David Flair is not really the father. Tenay said that Ric Flair had questioned Tenay's journalistic integrity. What's up with Rick? So they're kind of teasing that Rick is the father of Stacy Keibler's baby because David's furious that he's not. Then David like beats up the mailman. I mean, they're doing all this crazy stuff with David. Actually, kind of funny and entertaining, and David pulls it off, but it's like, where the hell are we going here with David Flair? He's losing his mind. His hot girlfriend is possibly cheating on him with his father. Like, weird.
You just asked the million-dollar question. Where are they going with this?
I have no idea. Yeah. Yep. And to end you the segment, which I don't know why, it just tickles me because I thought it was hilarious and funny. David and Tenay are talking, and he sees the mailman, and David almost acts like he's a dog. Makes a beeline for the mailman and beats the hell out of the mailman.
Yeah, it is funny.
Yeah.
Where are you going with it?
I don't know. And, you know, they were making David, and it's like, he's nuts. He's crazy. Because he's not that good of a worker. You had to make him into a character. And I remember talking to Crowbar about it. He said David tried his ass off. He tried so hard. You know, he just wasn't his dad. You know, just he just didn't have that type of ability. And he was trying hard on these vignettes and these stories, but this was just so funny, but maybe not in a good way. It's like, okay, his hot girlfriend's pregnant. He's not the dad. His dad might be the dad. Oh, there's the mailman. I'm going to go sick him. You know, I'm going to beat him up. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Different.
So then we have a triple threat match, which you would think, which would be awesome because of the three names involved. But I mean, I don't know. For some reason, it just wasn't their chemistry, or maybe just it being a three-way, but I know Vampiro and Muta are together, but Sting ends up defeating Great Muta and Vampiro with Violent J and Shaggy 2'd up, and they're part of the Dark Carnival with Vampiro. He beats them in a triple threat match in about 5 minutes. So it's kind of a short match, and ICP get involved, but I don't know. Something wasn't there with the chemistry. You say Sting and Great Muta, you would expect, you know, some awesome match, but it just wasn't there, especially throwing Vampiro in the mix for a triple threat.
In 5 minutes, that ain't a long time.
That's it too. Oddly short.
Yeah.
Did you see in 2023, in January, Muta and Sting will be teaming up? They didn't name the opponents yet, but in Pro Wrestling Noah, Muta's last match.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Very cool. Yeah, Muta showed up in AEW to save Sting, kind of leading up to Sting going to help him in his final match. Pretty cool. Talk about history. I mean, they've been wrestling each other for 30 years. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Actually, more than 30 years. Jeez, by that time, it'll be like 33 or 34 years Sting and Muta have been wrestling each other.
Right.
So then the next matchup, interesting one here, it's actually pretty good for the most part, but Mike Awesome's gimmick is just absolutely ridiculous. He's that 70s guy. So there's a bunkhouse brawl, Jeff Jarrett versus Mike Awesome. And it, you know, like old school gimmick matches when the guy would dress, come dress as you are kind of thing. Yeah. That's what Jarrett looked like. He looked like Dusty back in the day, but he's wearing the Tennessee jersey. And obviously they just had played Buffalo, the Bills. And like, he looks the part, like the bunkhouse brawl. He looks the part, but Mike Awesome is that 70s guy. Just, I don't know, just not working here. The kicker is Gary Coleman is a part of the match.
Well, it is working. I'll tell you why. You're right. Laughing through the whole card.
Right. You're right.
What did I ask you what this is?
Right. But this match.
Does this look like a wrestling show? What was Awesome wearing? Awesome was a terrific performer.
So he kind of had like a 70s style like outfit on. Almost like, I don't know how to describe it. Almost
a
like
narrow jacket.
Yeah, like an Elvis kind of look almost.
Yeah, the narrow jacket and the pants. Yeah. Does that resemble anything like Dusty's Bunkhouse matches, Come As You Are?
No.
So where I'm going with this, you may switch players in baseball, but the game is still played very similar, isn't it?
Yep. So he has the 70s attire on. He takes it off for the match. He's just in his normal ring gear. But Jarrett looks like he's ready for the bunkhouse, you know, that kind of thing.
So is it a bunkhouse match?
Yes. Yep. Anything goes.
You're not coming as you are.
Right, right.
It's part of the gimmick.
Right. Mike Austin did not get the notice or the memo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So the Bills players are kind of getting involved in the match. Gary Coleman gets involved. And you could tell he tried to put something. He's wearing a hat, oddly. And he tries to put something under there, maybe to protect himself. So you know he's going to get the guitar shot. Jarrett turns around, nails Gary Coleman with the guitar shot, which was hilarious because you didn't, celebrity, are they going to take a bump? Well, Jarrett, hit him pretty good with it. Then Mike Awesome kind of gets him on the distraction. So Mike Awesome wins in about 9 minutes. It's actually a pretty good brawl just because I like Mike Awesome and Jeff Jarrett. Pretty good brawl. Funny, though, everybody remembers how Gary Coleman was involved.
You keep on repeating that word.
True. Very true. Sting even gets involved in this one to help Mike Awesome win. But yeah. More comedy than
there funny doesn't draw money, JP. Funny doesn't draw money.
I think there's an old sign from Memphis that they kept showing, personal issues draw money. Jerry Jarrett quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we move on to the next match, which I was telling you before, and a lot of people don't realize it or haven't seen it. Scott Steiner with Medeja and Vince Russo comes out. He does get involved in the match, but Scott Steiner versus Bill Goldberg. To me, by far, this is Goldberg's best match of his career. It's a no DQ match. It goes 14 minutes, a little bit longer than your normal Goldberg match. Meltzer even gave it 4.25 stars, and he hates WCW, and he hates seemingly Goldberg because he never gave him good ratings. And it seems like maybe Scott Steiner wasn't his type of guy either. And I know Russo gets involved and there's some chicanery, but this match is awesome. I want to talk about just two guys kicking the living shit out of each other. Goldberg and Steiner just almost like test of strength, like who could beat the shit out of each other the worst. And they just, to me, if anybody hasn't seen this match, go out of your way. Goldberg, Scott Steiner, by far, it's Goldberg's best match of his career. It's great.
I'm sure it would be. You know, a long time ago, we talked about posters, remember?
Yep.
I said, Goldberg and Steiner, you put that on a poster, you should draw.
Yep. And I remember they had a match on Nitro, too, around this time. I don't think it had a finish to it, but I remember the quarter hour rating, it jumped a bit, they were saying, for Goldberg. So it seems like people were interested in Goldberg Steiner, because look at these two guys. It's like, holy shit, they're going to kill each other.
Okay, so what I've been preaching is the funny bullshit didn't draw shit.
But Steiner and Goldberg did, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep. If you looked over like the court hour stuff, Goldberg usually drew pretty well. Like Nash, too. Nash, Steiner. But obviously, I mean, they were so far behind the ball with Austin coming back at this point. I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was really refreshing to see Scott Steiner gets the win here. He knocks out Goldberg and gets the win with the Steiner recliner. Goldberg can't answer the bell. He's knocked out, but really, really good match. I love it. I love going back because people are like, oh, Goldberg, I can't have a good match. Well, watch the match with Scott Steiner, DDP, Raven, Saturn. He had a bunch of good matches.
He had a bunch of good matches. He had a bunch of good matches. But I don't give a shit. He put 43,000 people in this in the Atlanta Dome, whatever it was called. The Georgia Dome.
Yep.
Brother, that's what I call a great worker. When you put asses in seats.
Yep.
I mean, we can go back to Bruno. Was Bruno the greatest technical worker?
No.
No. Did he sell at the gardens every time? Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So the Bills actually helped Goldberg to the back, you know, showing their football loyalty as, you know, they're helping him to the back. Really weird, though. They show a commercial for the Halloween Havoc that's going to be the next month, and it's all about how Sting is going to change and there's going to be this breakthrough and all this other stuff. Never happens. Sting never goes and does the gimmick. They do a gimmick where all these fake Stings come out, and it's like each part of his career, it's somebody different that looks like Sting. So I just, I don't know, to me, just looking at it, I was like, well, they never came through with that. Sting didn't do anything except for fought Jarrett the next pay-per-view.
So they spent all that money on all these fake Stings and nothing. Okay.
Yeah. But Sting himself didn't change. That was weird. It's like, okay, I guess it was about him, you know, his life, but I don't know, maybe how he didn't change. I don't know. It's weird. Just to me, it didn't resonate. They didn't hit the nail on the head on that one, as far as like you kind of promoted Sting was going to change and he ends up not changing.
Yeah.
So then they aired the video before the main event of Kevin Nash turning on Booker T, winning the WCW title, which then would obviously lead to a steel cage match tonight. Booker T defeats Kevin Nash. They called it Cage Teeth, but it's just a regular old steel cage match for the WCW championship. The match goes 9 minutes. Kind of short to me for the main event, considering Goldberg just went 14. I don't know, to me, is that okay? The main event goes shorter than some of the matches leading up to it? Booker T wins.
It should have went more than 9 minutes.
Booker T wins, but it just felt like the match was just kind of getting started before it was over, and Booker T gets the clean win. But I mean, it's a nice win over Nash, but I felt like it should have been longer.
I have a feeling that they were running out of time.
I don't remember at the time, but there is 10 matches on the show, so that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, and I was listening to you say every time you gave another match, because I hadn't seen it, I thought we were coming to the end. I think that they got overran their times, a bunch of people.
It almost felt like this was like a Nitro match, and you know, like maybe or something like, but not like a pay-per-view where it goes nine. To me, I don't know. It definitely fell short as far as what it could have been. It was a decent match, but it could have been longer. Would have been better.
Yeah, and I think they would have given a longer match. I think they were running out of time. That's just me guessing.
What do you think overall, though? Did you like anything you heard what we were talking about? I know you didn't see it per se, but did you like anything we talked about?
I liked a lot of the guys there and the great workers, but I don't like comedy. A whole plate of comedy. Comedy's great in bits and pieces, but comedy is a dessert. I want a steak first.
Right. So to me, you would say thumbs down probably?
That's because of my like. A lot of people may find it entertaining. I certainly don't find it. You did 75,000 pay-per-views and they did 605,000. I think a lot of people think in the way I think. They're getting to see a kick-ass son of a gun come back, right?
Yep.
Is he going to be funny? I don't think so.
Nope. His whole thing was that he was out for revenge. Somebody ran him over with the car. He's going to kill somebody.
Yep.
So to me, I don't know. I don't want to say two thumbs down, but it's kind of almost leaning that direction just because I love Steiner and Goldberg. And Mike Austin versus Jarrett was a good match. Gary Coleman, maybe aside, but I like Goldberg Steiner that much where I'm almost like, yeah, that might kind of change me, swerve, but not a good show. The Orndorff injury hurts. Duggan turning Canadian didn't help. You know, there's certain things that were not great here for sure. And you could tell this is WCW heading towards the end, heading right downhill.
Yeah.
You would never work for them again, right? I mean, you're gone forever.
Yeah. That was it.
Wow, the guy that was responsible for, you know, 83 weeks of dominance, the NWO, never came back. Crazy.
I was getting paid, so it was just as well.
True. Let's head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees and get a Kevin Sullivan story. You can also follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, I'm going to do Dark Side of the Ring in another week. It's about Florida, so it'll be entertaining.
Nice.
So that's about it. Yeah.
Eddie Graham, Mike Graham tragedy.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be good because, I mean, we've heard stuff about that before, and there's been, I think, one documentary about Florida that I can remember, but nobody's kind of went deeper into what really happened there. So that'll be a good listen or a good watch.
Yeah, I think they're going to go deeper, much deeper.
And you said they have Mike's daughter or Mike's?
Yeah, Mike's daughter.
Mike's daughter, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome stuff. Kevin, thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer.